Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
What's good? It's your boy Big Beef, the Funk Files. Tonight we have a very, very special guest tonight on Cultural Zine Radio. Miss Cheryl from Climax, one of the original ladies of funk. Are you there, Cheryl?
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
How are you doing? Oh, we were just feeling blessed today on Cultural Zine Radio on the Big Beats Funk Files. We just want you to know that we are very, very, very blessed to have you tonight and want to get some input and hear what Climax is doing right about now.
Oh, great, great. Well, actually, we just got back from Ohio. We were there for about a week. We did some shows there. Of course, we did our show at the Funk Center for the fundraiser for the museum and exhibition center. And then we were also in Cincinnati for a old school festival there. And actually, we're on our way now to Fresno, California next weekend.
I was just about to ask you, when you come into Cali, so, you know, we got some people out here that know all about Climax. We know all about it.
All right, now, hey.
So we definitely want you out here, you know, out here in Cali, so we can come check you out and see the original funk ladies.
Yeah.
So we would love to have you out here, you know, ASAP. We need you out here so we can check you out. What I would like to ask you is, where do you think the direction of funk music is going today? I mean, do you see it? Is it evident in anywhere, shape, or form in the music today?
Well, I mean, I definitely see that there's a resurgence of interest for it. I'm kind of waiting for more artists and composers to write more into the genre of funk. Of course, I don't think it will ever die, but, you know, the heart and soul of it is still there. So, you know, it's just a matter of it being implied in the music.
Absolutely, absolutely. And now, I remember, I'm going to tell you, I'm not trying to date y'all now because I'm a seasoned individual myself. You understand what I'm saying? That's when I say seasoned. But I remember being when I first joined the United States Armed Forces of America, the United States Army, in 1985, January the 23rd, I remember flying into Philadelphia, headed to Fort Dix, New Jersey. And when I got off the plane, the very first song I heard was from Climax. My first time actually stepping foot on the East Coast. And it was all snowy. It was January. I didn't know nothing about no snow or none of that. I remember hearing y'all's song. It's a meeting in the ladies' room. And where did that song come from?
Well, actually, there was actually a situation in a club where one of the guys from Midnight Star was in the club with his girlfriend, and one of the girls from Climax saw him because we were on the same label, and she was all excited to see him and ran over and hugged and kissed him. And his girlfriend was not happy with all this attention he was getting from some strange woman. So she jumped up and went to the ladies' room. And so the guy from Midnight Star thought, oh, that's a great idea for a song, meeting in the ladies' room.
Okay. And that's where it came from, huh?
Yes, sir. That's where it came from.
Hmm. Very real, very real stuff. I like to know, like, how did Climax form? Like, how did you guys form your band, Climax? Where did the name come from? Like, who thought Climax? I mean, y'all, you know, I mean, it sounds like a very funky, moist place.
Well, actually, we wanted to have a word that meant the ultimate peak of musical excitement. So we used the word Climax and changed the spelling a little bit so that we could have our own definition of it.
You know how we do. We like to be different. And y'all definitely was different.
Yeah. You think?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Y'all was very, very different. And, matter of fact, I'm going to go as far as to say that Climax, you know, you guys, just the name in itself and the strength and the power to say, you know what, we are Climax. I mean, to put your music label out there, like, you know, your group out there with that name, it definitely, you guys were innovators in the funk game for the ladies, for sure, and males. But you definitely inspired a lot of young ladies that have come up behind you that I can see where the influence is at. Of Climax.
When we were out on tour in the 80s, you know, a lot of people, well, you know, video had really just kind of come out, and they, you know, were able to see that, you know, Climax is an all-girl band, but to actually see us live on stage, they were really shocked that we were really playing our own instruments. So, yeah, it was kind of innovating at that time, for sure. I mean, even as of today, we are still the only all-female R&B funk band that has charted on Billboard.
Absolutely. That's something to be proud of, for sure. It's definitely something to be proud of. So as far as, you know, Climax, now y'all been around for a long time and just been doing your thing. Is there ever going to be any new Climax music?
Well, yeah, actually we released a new single in, I think, June called Four Woman, the number four, and the word woman, which is a women's empowerment song, which is in, you know, the same type of ideas that Climax has always sung about, you know, being confident in what you want to do. So, yeah, it's kind of on the same idea, women's empowerment and all that good stuff, Four Woman.
Absolutely, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I have four young ladies myself. I have four daughters, so I believe that it's very important for women to show their strength and empower themselves and be strong, especially in the African-American community. It's something that's very necessary. So I would like to applaud you ladies for doing your thing for so very long and staying at the top of the game.
Oh, awesome. Thanks.
Absolutely, absolutely. So if we could, matter of fact, we wanted to... Oh, that's Shaq Key right there. Go ahead, Shaq.
What's your favorite Climax song?
Divas Need Love Too.
I got me. You know what? Let's play that right now.
Yes, do it. Beef needs love too. Yes, he do. Yes, he do. Beef needs love too. Here we are, Big Beef in the Funk Files on Culture Zine Radio. And I'm here with the ladies of Climax. And Miss Cheryl are here tonight. And Cheryl, you got anybody with you tonight from Climax?
Yes, I have April the bassist, Maggie the keyboardist, and Tiffany, one of the vocalists.
Hello. Okay, where you at, ladies? Where you at, ladies? Where you at? Where you at?
We're
you ladies there?
Uh-huh.
I said, are the ladies with you? They with you?
Yeah, we're right here.
We're all standing around the room talking to you.
Okay, we got Tiffany, we got April, and who else we got?
Maggie.
And Maggie. Oh, shoot. Okay, Maggie, what you play, the keyboard?
Yes, I'm the keyboard player. That's correct.
So you good with your fingers?
Yes, definitely. Clive, Rose.
I'm messing around getting clients right now. You better quit it. You better stop it. So, let me ask some of the ladies of Climax. What inspired you ladies to play live instruments? Like, you know, I mean, like today's young artists don't really seem to do that anymore. It's all, everything is computer based, you know, machine based, and you ladies actually play. And that's what needs to be stressed. You guys actually play live instruments, which is incredible. So if we can get you all to give us a little information about what inspired you to do that.
I started playing piano when I was 9. And that's all I can say. No. And I'm a computer technician.
Okay.
I play piano than play a computer, although I do play computers too.
Okay. But now, was that something mama made you do? Did she make you take these? Were you forced or did you want to do this? Is it something you wanted to do?
I didn't care. I was a kid. I didn't care when I started, but then, you know, it became my thing.
It became your thing. So when did you actually know, like physically know, this is what I want to do? Like, I want to play music for a living. This is what I want to do. I want to be a part of a great, you know, female group or just a part of a group.
I never considered doing anything else other than being an astronomer.
Oh, okay. So wait a minute. So you mean to tell me you Cleo in the, you really like to, you know, you into astrology?
No, astronomy.
Astronomy. Stars and whatnot, right?
Stars.
Galaxies.
Stars and stuff, yeah.
You need to tell me something about myself. I'm born June 12th. Tell me something about me, please.
I don't know much about astrology. Astronomy is, you know.
Oh, stop it. You better be talking about you into the stars. You don't even know nothing about June 12th. I'm a Gemini. Say something about Geminis, please.
I don't know much about, they are twins.
Okay, go on, Climax. All right, I'm going to let Maggie off the hook. Somebody save her. Somebody save her. Cheryl, okay, now I know you play that guitar, right?
You say what again?
Cheryl, you play the guitar, right?
Yes, sir, I play the guitar.
You play the guitar. So when you play the guitar, now what age did you start playing that guitar?
11.
Was it something that you just picked up, or did your mama say you know you gonna play this, or did daddy say you gonna play this? Like, where did it come from?
Well, it just so happened that my sister was married to a jazz musician by the name of Hubert Laws, and on tour with a jazz musician by the name of Mongo Santa Maria, and he had his guitar at my parents' house, and I started picking at it, and they thought, hey, why don't we get Cheryl some guitar lessons? And voila, here I am.
There it is, Cheryl. Mando, el Mando. So you had a little bit of a Spanish influence on the guitar?
Well,
in the beginning?
Not really. It was mostly R&B because of Sly and the Family Stone. You know them.
Oh, yes, I do know them. I mean, how could you not know Sly and the Family Stone? I mean, that was a very innovative group themselves. I mean, Sly, them, it was, you know, some of the godfathers of funk as well. I mean, they set the, they did that. That's what they did. A lot of you know, if matter of fact, on tonight on the Culture Zine Radio, if we could get some of y'all to call in and express yourselves. What did Climax do for you? What did Climax do for you? And if we could get some of the real Climax lovers to call in tonight, I'd be greatly appreciated, and I'm sure they would be too.
Speechless. I have a question for you, ladies.
Yes,
I have a question for you, ladies.
Yes, sir.
What do you guys feel about what we're doing tonight? Is we're going to definitely showcase you guys, play the music, but I want to talk about how women in funk haven't really got the props as the guys. And you guys are one of the few female groups that are out there still playing.
Let's see. That encompasses a lot of ideas.
Sure.
You know, just talking about Sly and the Family Stone, I'm going to say they probably were the first funk band. And it just so happened that they had a female on trumpet. Well, you know, that was, you know, surprising to us that where we had seen other rock bands have only males. So that there was some inkling that it was possible that women could, you know, be in funk bands also. I think women have always had a part in it, though they may not be recognized for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because for ladies to come out and say, wait a minute, we are going to start our own funk band, and we're going to play our own instruments, and we're going to, you know what I mean, who was the writer? Who came up with, who was it, Collabo, or who was writing for y'all?
It was definitely a collaboration because in order to put a demo tape together for a record company to listen to us, we had to write our own music and put it on a demo tape and hand it to them. I mean, it wasn't like somebody was coming in to help us because, of course, they didn't take us seriously. When I say they, I mean other musicians before we actually signed the recording deal. And the way we got that was I was working at a bank, and I was telling my supervisor about this all-girl band I was in, and she told me to make a demo tape that she could take to her uncle, who was a producer for Peebo Bryson at the time. His name was Johnny Pate. And,
okay.
You know, we sat around and wrote some, about three or four songs, put it on a demo tape and gave it to him, and he was not impressed. He didn't like it at all. But it just so happened he was having lunch with one of the executives at Solar Records and gave it to her to listen to, and she loved it. So right there, I want to encourage your listeners, even if somebody doesn't like their music, the next person might. So you just never give up. So anyway, she took the demo tape to Dick Griffey, who was the president of Solar Records, and they signed us up immediately. Within 3 months, they signed us up to a contract.
Oh, wow. So things began to happen, you know, pretty fast for you. Now, let me ask you a question. Did anyone ever say, like, because, you know, the music group Climax, I mean, that's a controversial name for an all-ladies group. I mean, that's bold. It's a bold statement. You know what I mean? Climax. Damn. Matter of fact, I need to have one right now, matter of fact, but I'm going to contain myself. I'm going to contain myself, ladies. I'm going to do that. Did they ever say, hey, wait a minute, let's change, ladies, can we change the name? Did anybody suggest that ever?
No.
Because everybody like the Climax, don't they?
Yes.
Who said yes? Who said that?
Maggie.
Nasty Maggie, you nasty. It's okay, Maggie. I'm nasty too. Your mom ain't listening.
We're all gonna yell in unison, and they let me down.
They so brought up. They let you go.
Oh, yeah.
It's all right. Matter of fact, I would love to hear another famous. Matter of fact, I would like to hear. It's a meeting in the ladies' room. If we could do that, Shaq, can we do it right now, please? Can we? I need some inspiration. Here you go.
Uh-oh. I had to leave my condo to come to this. this time and with my man. And these women are putting their hands all over his Yamamoto Kanzai sweater, the iPod. And I'm much, much unhappy about that. I'd hate to come down to the level and become a BW, a basic woman. But if they don't stop, it's gonna get scandalous.
It's a meeting in the ladies' room. It's a meeting in the ladies' room. I understand it. Matter of fact, as I began to listen to the lyricals of climaxes, I began to feel somewhat feminine. I began to release my feminine side, and I had to watch some of the lyricals that I was singing as I sang along the song. You understand what I'm talking about, lady? It's really not a man's. Yeah, it's really not a man song. It's a ladies. It's truly. It's like one of them revolutionary women songs. Like, you know, like Put a Ring on It. Some things like it's a ladies. Yeah. Yeah. It's like one of them. It's what it's, y'all not saying. I'm gonna go on and say y'all started the whole revolution and empowering women. Because who else was doing it? I don't remember anybody else doing it, but y'all, I mean, as I began to listen to the lyrics, it brought me right back to 1985, and that's what it felt like. I'm like, wait a minute, I can't really sing that. It's a hunk of a man, I need to get back on him or something like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what I was saying. That Primax is noted for that type of affirmative woman type lyrics.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as you guys, I believe y'all, you know what I mean, somehow jumped into Beyonce's mama's womb and influenced her. And that's why she's, you know, coming up with these songs like Put a Ring on It, you know what I mean, got brothers out buying diamonds and whatnot. You guys had a big influence on them. I believe that. I really believe that. Because who else was doing it before y'all?
Interestingly, we saw Beyonce's mom the other day at the airport. Speaking of Beyonce, mom.
Did you talk to her?
Yeah. We had a moment with her She said hello and then went off to her thing. That's all.
Did she give y'all a little bit of credit for, you know what I mean, empowering women?
Yes, women of color. She was in a really hurry, though. She had her folks and everything.
She's supposed to make time for climbing. Don't give her no pass, y'all. Don't give her no pass.
No, she's supposed to make. Gracious.
Hey, Climax is iconic. Climax is iconic. That's an innovator. So I'm a don't downplay yourself. No, this is Climax. This is the Climax band. So you guys started this. I mean, no, before y'all, nobody else was doing this. Who else was empowering women before y'all? We can't say Betty Wright, because Betty Wright was talking about what she paid for, what she do, and I buy this for my man, even though he's teaching, doing what he's doing. Yeah, that wasn't y'all's message. Y'all's message was different.
We're just talking about it, and we realized that none of us really felt restricted by the fact that there were no female instrumentalists. We didn't even know that we couldn't do it, you know what I mean? So for us, we were in a different mindset.
And was that April? Was that April or Maggie?
No, that was Maggie. That was Maggie. Now it's April.
Maggie. April, where you at, April? I ain't heard you. April, where you at?
I'm over here. That was me hollering a second ago about Beyonce's mom.
Okay, and now what instrument do you play, April?
I'm the bass player.
You the bass player. Okay, now, do you slap? What you do? Are you a slapper or are you a clapper? Which one are you?
Not so much a slapper. I only do that when I have to.
Okay.
I play a lot of different styles, though. Funk isn't the main thing that I play.
Who was your biggest influence on the on that bass?
My biggest influence. There are a lot. I'll give you top three. Charlie Mingus, Flea, and Michelle and Dage Ocello. How's that?
Okay. All legitimate.
Can you pop up a couple of different things?
I thought you might throw in a little bit of Larry Graham, because, you know, Larry Graham is the one who revolutionized that thumper thing, that slapper thing. He did that.
He did indeed. I think he actually kind of started it more than anybody else, actually.
He did. As a matter of fact, me and Shaq, he was talking about it a couple of weeks back, and we did our own little research on Faldell. You know, as a matter of fact, Shaq, he educated me and let me know, you know, how much of an influence that Larry Graham had on that bass guitar and slapping it and where it came from. So, you know, I mean, I felt empowered, you know, by the knowledge that Shaq gave to me. So, I was thinking maybe April was going to say something about that. But I get it. You know, your influences are your influence.
I listen to a lot of different kinds of music, though. I'm not just, I don't listen to only funk. I listen to jazz. I listen to pop. I listen to music from Africa. I listen to music from Brazil and Cuba. I'm influenced by a lot of different kinds of music. So Larry is one of many, many, many bass players that I've listened to over the years.
Okay. And that's a beautiful thing. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having the influences that you have. I mean, I definitely respect that. And Cheryl, if you could, who is one of your biggest influences, or are there several influences on that guitar?
My biggest influence playing guitar?
Yeah.
Let me think. Well, I guess I have to say Sly and the Family Stone. I mean, just that whole groove, that whole idea of that music genre, I just really got into it. There was no particular one guitar player or anything. It was a style of music that I really liked.
Okay. What do you think about Sly and the Family Stone with you know, the wardrobe? Because I've seen some of the stuff. I'm a 70s baby, so I remember, you know, some of the crazy clothing that they had. You know what I mean? The innovative stuff that they was kind of out there. Like, kind of like a black hippie.
Yeah. I mean, at the same time, you know, Hendrix was really popular too. So I mean, both those types of music were kind of maturing at the same time.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what year did
I got a question. Cheryl, ain't you from Chicago?
Yeah.
How does a Chicago girl get influenced by West Coast funk founders?
Well, this is what happened. You see, my dad was a welder. And, you know, in Chicago, there are some months that you cannot work outside. So my parents decided to move west to California. At that time, I was 10 years old. When we got to California, a year later, when I was 11, that's when I picked up the guitar. That's
okay. All. I'll give you a break, though.
Because, you know, I just had some questions on this great Chicago foundation of blues and soul. How do you get influenced by some West Coast funk, bass funk at that?
Well, you know, at 10 years old, I wasn't really listening to blues. And by the time I got 11 and got a guitar, I was like, oh, let's see what we got here.
Absolutely.
We got a caller, you guys. We got a caller. I'm going to take a phone call. Okay, Blue?
Bring them in, man. Bring them in.
8377, you're live.
Hey, what's going on? What's going on, Big Beef and Shaki?
Hey, what's happening with you, brother? How you?
Oh, man, I'm good. This Don Slims, man. And our West Coast rep for Soul Bridge Entertainment on the Culture Zine. I got to say, let me catch my breath first. What is going on with the wonderful ladies that's on the line right now? This is epic. What's going on, Climax?
Hey, hello.
Well, actually, we are about to have rehearsal after we get off the phone here. We're going to have rehearsal and get ready for our next show that's going to be in Fresno, California. And we're going to be out there to make the men all call.
Oh, okay. That's what's up.
When is that show?
When's
that show?
Huh? He's asking when exactly is the next show in California?
It's the 17th of September, Saturday the 17th.
17th of September, and that's in Fresno, correct?
That is correct.
So we want to make sure we get out there, y'all, and support the ladies of Climax. And as you heard Cheryl say, she's going to make all the men pause one more again. And, you know what I mean, have us out there in Fresno's doing what we do and make us freeze up. Is that what we're going to do? Is that correct? Cheryl, we going to pause a little bit?
Yes, that is correct. You're going to see six fine-ass women up on stage, and you are going to pause.
Yeah.
And I gotta say happy birthday to Cheryl. I know it's late, but happy birthday, sister.
Oh yeah, happy birthday. Happy belated birthday.
Happy birthday, Cheryl. Happy belated birthday. If I could thank, I would. Okay. So the next show is in California is gonna be September the 17th, Fresno. Climax. Six beautiful ladies on stage playing their own instruments, doing their thing. My brother that's on the radio, you got any questions for Climax tonight?
Yes, I absolutely do. I have a couple of questions, actually. The first one is, which song did Climax have the most fun recording in the studio?
The Men All Pause, for one.
Oh, okay.
And actually, there's a song that's not as popular called Never Underestimate the Power of a Woman, which was our very first single. And, you know, just the excitement of being able to be in the studio and play your own music for the first time, that was a lot of fun.
Okay. That's cool. That's cool. So, all right, the second question is, which song would you all say was the most difficult to record?
Oh, wow. I don't know. I never thought of it like that.
Or the most challenging, you know?
You know, one of the things that we had to deal with was that the technology and music was kind of changing between when we started in 1981 and by the time 1984 happened, because our, you know, if you listen to our first and second albums, which weren't that popular, you can definitely tell the style, the music style is different than the third album, which was Meeting in the Ladies Room. So to really understand the music, the music changing, the sound changing, I think that was probably the most challenging to really know and be secure that it was, you were going to record something that people would like.
Okay.
I think for, you know, the mid part of any decade, there's kind of a shift in music. And sometimes you take a chance being in the studio, you know, sometimes 6 months before it's released, especially at that time. I mean, now you can release a song in a couple of days, but at that time, it took some marketing time and packaging. And so sometimes you took the chance of what you recorded 6 months prior would be acceptable and successful 6 months later.
Absolutely. Kind of like what Nelly did. Nelly, you know, Country Grammar came out actually 3 years before it actually hit. So they took a big chance on releasing the, I heard the very first time it was released, you know, they did not like that song. They were like, no, it's, you know, it's corny, it's not going to work. And then they believed in it. Honestly, they believed in it and released it 3 years later, and it just popped. It just all of a sudden took off and became one of their most popular singles. So,
even today, you know, you hear some record executives say that, you know, they take the artist's song and throw it up against the wall to see if it's going to stick or not, because, you know, the listening audience has so many choices that it's really hard to determine what they're going to like and what they're not. And it can change, you know, day to day, month to month, you know, you just never know. So sometimes, you know, you go into your recording session with great creative ideas, but then when you release it, you know, it may or may not be something that is popular to the listening audience at the time, but it doesn't mean that it's not good material. It's just whatever's popular at that moment.
Absolutely. So do you ever find yourself, Ladies of Climax, do you ever find yourself writing for the people, or are you writing from within, like what you really feel is, you know, what you feel strongly about?
Well, I mean, we always write from what we feel, you know, because again, like I say, you never know what the audience is going to like. So you have to write it from your heart. You have to write it from what's inside of you. If you write for what you think somebody is going to buy, it's not really your creativity, it's just manipulation.
Absolutely. And that's how I kind of feel. I don't know, you know, if there's any callers that want to call in, but I kind of feel like today's music is basically that. It's not very creative. It's all, you know, still talking about the same thing, bling, money, vehicles, you know, material things, women, things of that nature. It's not really saying anything where, as the lyrical content used to be something that we, you know, that we treasured. It was like what the song was saying, what was it about? And somehow, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that's been lost in the transition of today's music. That lyrical content is lost. What do you feel about that?
One of the ways to have more creative lyrics is to read. People don't read anymore. Everything is fed to them. TV, internet, whatever. And unless people start reading, they're not going to have any creative, their own creative ideas to write lyrics. I mean, you can have life experiences also by writing lyrics from, but if you don't know how to put it in a comprehensive form, then you're going to sing about the same thing that you know how to talk about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So a big part of what you would say basically is your influences, you know, how you living, what's going on, what you putting inside of you, what kind of information are you putting inside of you? Are you reading? Are you, because today, you know, kids today really, you know, everything is on the iPad. You know, I mean, it's on social media. It's nothing. It's not a whole lot of originality.
Yeah,
in my opinion, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's just how I feel.
Right. I mean, and I'm going to say even with the iPad, you could have an iPad, but are you, you know, downloading books or are you downloading somebody else's drama that you want to look at over and over again? I mean, there's always, you know, there's nothing wrong with going into a bookstore and just looking at titles. Oh, that sounds like a great title. Let me download it on my iPad so when I'm looking around on the internet, I can read it every once in a while. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the iPad situation, but you just have to go and look for research. I have the book fall on your head, whatever you got to do. But unless you're going to have a new source of information, you're going to always regurgitate the same thing over and over again. And I'm just talking about lyrics. If you're going to constantly look at stuff on, I don't know, YouTube or whatever, Facebook or Twitter, and they're constantly talking about green shoes, all you know how to sing about is green shoes.
Also, the schools are constantly cutting all kinds of art programs. So how are kids supposed to learn how to be creative if they're never exposed to it? So, I mean, unfortunately, that comes from a couple of different places where kids aren't getting the exposure to creativity, to music, to art as much as a lot of kids did when they were younger, you know, 10, 20, 15, 50 years ago. Not exposed quite as much or as readily. It's not that it's not there. It's just not. Schools are programming kids in a different way than they used to.
Absolutely.
But that's why you guys are so important. That's why you guys are so important. Because you show these kids the really love of playing live music compared to computerized music. That's the beauty. And you guys are females and you guys are doing it. That brings a whole nother element that these kids need to know, that live music, you can't beat it. So I have to tell you, thank you.
Absolutely.
I'm glad that they still give us the platform to go out there and perform live music. You know, I mean, that's important too. And for them to be attended. I mean, I implore you guys to, you know, please continue to encourage your audience to go see live music, whether it's a cover band at a club or whether it's at a major concert. We need those type of attendances to keep this stuff going. It's not just about us going out and touring. We have to have the audience and the fans to actually go out and support. That is so important. The fans are so important.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, ladies, I have a question for you. This is Big Beef. My question for you is, what can we do in this, you know, to influence our young people to pick up these instruments? Because they are cutting all these programs out of the schools. So what can we do to continue to inspire our young people to actually pick up an instrument and not the computer per se? What can we do to provoke them to actually play these live instruments?
I got one for you. When people see their little kids getting up and dancing and being joyful around music, give them more. Go buy them a toy guitar. Go buy them a little drum set. Get a tambourine. Don't stop the kids' excitement about creating. Encourage and get them more. And give them references of music of, you know, whoever they like to listen to now, say they're a big fan of Beyonce. Find out who Beyonce listened to, because Beyonce has influences. Who influenced her? I'm going to guess maybe somebody like Aretha Franklin or somebody like that. Expose kids to history of music related to people who they enjoy listening to, and that might inspire them. But feed them the music and creativity. Don't take it away from them. Don't shut them down. When you see them being joyful with music, give them more. Don't take it away from them.
Absolutely. So if correct me if I'm wrong, but what I'm hearing is, okay, now if I'm a single parent and I'm struggling, I came from a single parent family. And I remember being, you know, mama didn't have too much money, but I wanted this drum and mama couldn't get me the drum. I wanted the snare drum. So my mom started me off with a drum pad. And the drum pad was like, I think it was like $7 for the drum pad and maybe $2 for the drum stick. So I had a whole, you know, gave me a platform to begin until my mom was able to actually get me a snare drum. That, you know, that she actually printed for me at first. But, you know, I was a percussionist, you know, what I was. So, yeah, you know, if we got single parents
yeah,
out
and,
there.
And like, give the kids, if the kids interested in music, give them music lessons if you can. And if you can't afford them, maybe there's somebody in the family or a friend that can show them some things. Or YouTube.
Go to YouTube. Everything
YouTube.
Is on YouTube. They have lessons on there and everything.
There are community centers that have programs for kids that are often free or very, very low cost. There are resources all around. People have just forgotten how to find things. But it's all out there. It's all out there and available. You just have to give it to the kids and let them know it's there and encourage them.
Seek and ye shall find. Is that what I'm hearing? Seek and ye shall find.
Because
you got to decide.
Yes.
Absolutely, absolutely, ladies. I just want to, you know, let you know that you are appreciated. I appreciate y'all coming out tonight on the Funk Files, Big Beef Radio. Culture Zine Radio, excuse me. We definitely appreciate you. Shock, what you feel about it, baby? You there, Shock?
Yeah.
I'll just let you know, ladies, know that, you know, you guys are definitely appreciated and respected. You know, I mean, I definitely want to let you ladies know that, you know, you guys are a blessing for show. And I appreciate it. I can't wait to actually see you, and I'm just hoping that maybe you guys will slide down to Southern California, you know, LA area. You know, you go to Fresno,
well,
you're still 5-6 hours away from me, but I for y'all to slide down.
Where are you?
We're in the LA area. We're in the LA area, Riverside, California.
Get on them, live out here.
5 or 6 hours away. I mean, we're right here in L.A., too. We're in the L.A. County, too. We just have to get a promoter that can put on a show in L.A. That's our challenge.
And we need to do it. If you guys are right here in L.A., we got to make it happen.
If you guys want us in L.A.
I got some things I'm going to talk to you about, sir. I got a brand new club that I'm getting ready to do every Sunday in November, so I definitely want to snatch you up.
Okay.
We're going to do a club on Sunset, so I got you.
I'm in fact, I know there's definitely some clubs out here that would love to have y'all, and we could get, you know, some people out here, you know, to support Climax for sure. I know, as a matter of fact, I'll be bold enough to say we would sell out, and we could really make it happen, because there's some promoters right out here in this area that would love to have you. So you know, between Shaki and Big Beef and some of the folks that I know, I'm sure we could put something together that would be live. I mean, it set it off and have some of the ladies in the, you know, in the Southern California and men, they would come, because, you know, when the ladies come out, the men come out. You know what I'm saying? The men will pause and y'all, that's what you do.
That's right.
So, go ahead, brother.
I would like to get a request in, you know, I can't allow Climax to get off of the line without getting this request in. One of my all-time favorite songs by Climax, Still Say Yes. Because I still say yes, they are the best band that's out there, female band, period.
Yeah.
Musically, performance-wise, everything.
Matter of fact, if I didn't know any better, I would swear that you're trying to school a little bit, you know, get the ladies from Climax. You're trying to work them right now. I feel it. I feel a little bit of.
I've been a fan of theirs since I was a kid, so I ain't gonna lie. This is the second time I've had Cheryl on the station. It's always a blessing. And Cheryl know I love Climax, even when I was a little intern over there at the label.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, and I want to see the ladies myself. I would love to see Climax live in person doing what you do, and I would like to pause myself. But go on, let's
they're amazing.
Can you play that song for us, Shot?
Yeah.
Just say yes, y'all. Just say yes. Yes, yes, yes. A matter of fact, Lee, Climax, that was Climax. And I want to give a shout out to Dave Webb from the Funk Center. We appreciate you. We appreciate you, you know, sponsoring Big Beef and the Funk Files show tonight. Shaqui, where you be? You there, Shaq?
I'm right here, man. I want to thank Dave for sponsoring us every time we do the show. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, absolutely, Dave. Dave, we definitely want to appreciate you and show our appreciation to you. Without Dave Webb and the Funk Center, we don't have the Funk Files show. So, Big B, definitely appreciate y'all. Thank you for calling tonight. Climax, lovely ladies of Climax, we appreciate you. We love you. And keep doing your thing, ladies.
All right.
We're going to play that single for y'all right about now. We're going to play that single for y'all, but I want to ask you something. What did you think of, like, sisters like Lynn Collins when you were coming up?
Lynn Collins?
Lynn Collins, the Saint.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar.
The one that did Think, You Better Think. The whole little independent sound that this is what we want to do. We want to definitely make sure that you ladies that play funk music get you guys props. I know it's a man's game, and you know James and a lot of these other brothers get a lot of credit that y'all need to be getting credit for. So I want to do better, and me and Dave talked about this. We want to do better in representing the ladies. The guys always get their credit. We definitely want to represent the ladies and get more of what you guys are doing.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yes, yes.
The ladies do know how to swag out. The ladies do know how to swag out, especially Climax. You guys are the, you know, the forefront in the whole funk music game, especially for the ladies. Y'all, the original, y'all was the first. You know what I mean? Y'all was the first that was really getting it in. So I definitely want to let y'all know I appreciate Climax to the fullest. Thank you, ladies.
Oh, thank you. Awesome, awesome. Thank you.
Can you ladies do me a favor?
Can I slide in a quick question?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. All right. Quick question. All right. As far as the video still say yes, how come they didn't have you guys in the video more? I mean, I love the song and everything and stuff like that, but I wanted to see more of you all in the video. Was that, like, out of you guys' control to make that call or what?
Well, there was no video made for I Still, because at the time, one of the girls was leaving the group. So the record company didn't want us to make a video since they had sold the package of six of us. And the drummer had left to do her own solo album. So that was the reason why they didn't do a video for I'd Still Say Yes.
Oh, okay, well, tricked by YouTube again. Darn it. All right. Okay, then.
I want you guys to explain what you guys are doing and where you guys are getting ready to go. And I know you guys got to go to rehearsal, so we're not going to try and hold y'all up. We definitely want to get into this new song and talk about where new Climax is and give y'all that time.
All right, all right. Well, I invite your listeners to check us out on Climax.com. That's KLYMAXX.com. We will be performing at the Saylan Arena in Fresno, California on September 17th. And then from there, we're actually going to be in Las Vegas on October 22nd. So just go to the website, and we have our calendar there. We also have our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/climaxmusic. And definitely check us out on Twitter, and it's just twitter.com/climax. But all of that social media is definitely on our climax.com website.
Okay, absolutely. We're looking forward to you, ladies. We're looking forward to seeing you, ladies, once again. And if my brother...
We got a couple callers. You guys want to take these ladies?
Yeah.
We got a couple callers.
All right.
4443, you're on. Hello?
Yeah, welcome, welcome.
9137.
Hello?
9137.
Hey.
Hello?
9137. Hey, you're live on the air. Hi, how you doing? I was just trying to holler in at Shakiji, see how you doing, my brother.
I'm good, sister. Hit me, you know, you got Climax on there. You don't got no questions, but it's a legendary group.
I just tuned in, and I, because I have to go to work, and I was asleep. So I didn't know.
Come on now.
What was all going on. But I do appreciate y'all. I wanted to let you know that I really love you guys, and I know you got the album coming out. Shakiji told me all about it, and I look forward to hearing it.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're
Let's get into this single. I know you ladies got to go to work. I'm not trying to keep a working woman from working. If you don't mind, brother, can we definitely drop this single and let these ladies go to work so they can make some more hits so we can play them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ladies, the Climax, again, we appreciate y'all. We appreciate y'all time giving us your valuable time. We know you got to do your thing, get out there and practice, get ready for this show that's coming up September the 17th in Fresno, California.
Yes, thank you.
I'm taking a drive.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You there?
Yep.
What's up? Hello. What's up? Hello.
Hello. I like that. That was nice.
Whoa, man. I got the same feeling that I did when I heard Still Say Yes, you know, first time. That's a hit right there. That is a hit right there. Could you play it again on the way out? You know, at the end of the show, play it one more time. I'm not trying to butter you guys up, but I'm, you know, that
it's that working. It's definitely working. I feel it. Ladies of Climax, I believe this brother is trying to do something to you. He's trying to bring a climax somewhere along the line.
And yes,
he's smooth as hell. He got me stimulated. I don't know what the hell he's doing, but you need to stop it.
No, no, I'm serious.
Cheryl?
Hey,
I think they broke out on the day to go to work.
Yeah, did they break out?
Yeah, they had to go to work.
They fleeing from this brother. This brother been laid it on thick the whole night. He been killing me.
I got something for you, Beef. I want to know what you think about this.
Mr. Smooth, Mr. Smooth is killing us. He's killing us.
Let me know what y'all think about this. With the answer to James Brown, Superman. Your days gonna be so lean. Oh, yeah. Brother one said, get on up. I feel like a sex machine. Hey. How much you know that James Brown?
Whoa. Brother man, I'm getting on up. My fine soul has to laugh. Hey, watch me now.
I'm gonna play that. That's about 4 minutes. Y'all got time to go make a run or whatever.
That was funky.
That's 1966, I think.
the year oh, the year that Carne Asada came into play, of Big Beef came into the world in 1966, y'all. Yes, he did.
Right. Maybe that's why he's
right,
so funky.
Right.
Yeah, I came, and that's where I came from, that funky, moist space.
That's what's up.
Well, you know, I'm just trying to make this happen. I want y'all to tell me what y'all think of this new style of funk. To me, it's old. Tell me what you think. That's Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. And the Dap Kings. They had to go over to London because all the record labels in America said that sound was horrible.
It's not horrible. Wow. It's just outdated.
There you go. I agree with the sister. It's definitely outdated. I don't think it's horrible, but I think it's outdated. It needs to come from a different...
It's actually Motown.
Hmm?
Yeah.
That's actually a Motown track that they replayed.
And what are you saying?
That it's not horrible, but it works in Europe?
I mean, a lot of things work in Europe. I mean, what's her name?
The reason it doesn't work here is we're not appreciative. Classic rock gets a lot of play. Old jazz gets a lot of play. But classic R&B, record labels aren't signing that. Now, they will sign a little white kid to sing that same song, and it'll go through the charts.
Yeah. Right.
They did it with, what's her name, Megan Beck, Theron, the heavyset girl. That's Supreme's track. All day long.
Wow.
What I'm saying is probably we need to reinvest in our community and maybe take back some of our sound that's been stolen.
I mean, that's a good idea. But how are we going to do that? That's the question. Now, me, myself, I understand music because I've been in the music business. I'm a vocalist. So with that being said, you have to at least bring it up to date so that you can understand, so that people can understand that, okay, yeah, we like that older sound, but we also want some new sound with it.
You know the funny part in that, sister?
Large.
Hmm? You know the funny part in that, sister? Find me a new sound, because all that stuff that these young little kids are singing are all samples.
No, I know that, but that's what I'm saying. I was going to say, like L.D. Barge, for instance. Now, when he came out with his comeback album, he only had a few songs on there that were actually really good, because he wasn't true to himself. He wasn't true to the DeBarge name. You understand what I'm saying? So with that being said, if he came out, just him by himself, if he came out and he did an album the way he used to do albums, then I think everybody would be more accepting, because he has not reached his full potential in this industry because of his situation with his drug use and everything like that. But I tell you what, no, I'm being real. I'm just being real. The boy is the baddest on the planet. If he come out with something, everybody's going to buy it.
Boy.
I guarantee you, if he's true to himself, if he's true to his own
self. That was a bad boy.
Okay? Yeah. And just like Climax, they're excellent. They are really good. But it's harder for females now than it used to be in the industry. Especially if you
can always been hard for females. I've always felt bad because it's always been hard for females. And it really is harder. And especially females that play instruments, it's just been. And the other part is the other part is labels have no ears nowadays. Most of the A&R guys have never produced a record. Most of the A&R guys usually come from the accounting department.
Wow.
Trust me, I know most of them. Most of them have come from the accounting department. There are very few. There are a couple of Universal has a couple good A&R guys over there that produce music. I get him shots out, you know, like my boys, you know, Rashawn Cooley. I get him guys props on that. But most of them, they don't. And that's a sad part, because you guys are vocalists and you're taking it to some A&R guy who never produced a record in his life, and they're telling you this doesn't work because it doesn't fit the horrible trap sound that's being sung right now with the overlapping bass and the sibilance.
Right. So, point in case,
then
what
they turn
they
around and sign a white kid
do?
To sing your song, that they'll sell that white kid a million copies of that white kid and tell you can't sing. That's bad.
Okay, but this is
That's
what I'm saying to you.
Bad.
Okay, this is what I'm saying to you. Like Climax, for instance, I love the track. It's hard to me. Okay, and I think they will do well with it. But who is going to be, who is going to take this and who is going to promote this? Who is going to bring it to where it needs to be heard?
Well, you know, luckily they signed with Sony. So Sony's got that machine. Yeah, they're not on independent. They're on Sony. But the hard part is getting vocalists like you. I mean, you're a great vocalist. Getting vocalists like
you,
you
heard me sing.
Out. Yes, I have.
You've heard me sing.
Yes, I have. but the problem is the artists aren't getting the representation because the labels don't understand the art. They
don't
understand how to make
the
label.
I'm
not
trying
even
to sing anymore. I'm just, that's not even in my, right now, that's not even where I'm at right now. I'm building my brand. I'm
almost
where
I need
to be. And I'm going to do my
We need y'all as writers. If y'all not going to sing, we need you as writers, sister. We need y'all to come out and write this new material, because these kids, ooh, Lord Jesus.
See, this
music
what I'm
these kids
to
are
you.
Doing.
I would like to invite them to the launch party if they can come, because they can bring their CDs. It's all about getting people involved in what we are doing, you know, for our people, you know. So if they can come to the launch party, I think they'll have a lot of success in selling their product.
Well, you know what? If you give me the information, I'll make sure we post it. I definitely will make sure we post it. How about that?
Okay, for sure.
And you know, you always got a format in here. Always.
Okay, cool. That's what's up.
This is why we built this station. We built this station because we wanted to give our community a voice.
Right.
That's why we did it.
Yeah, it's important.
We get ready to go out. It looks like Beep hasn't called back in, so I guess I'm going to have to close this show out. I love y'all.
Yeah.
This is the Funk Files, sponsored by the Funk Center Museum in Dayton, Ohio. And we're very appreciative that every second Thursday They allow us to do some things and be an extension of what they're doing and building and creating. It's a blessing for us over here at Coach Azine Radio. And we hope to expand different things and want to invite y'all. Please go to our website, www.CoachAzineRadioNetwork.com. I love y'all. I think we're going to go out with Miss Tina Marie. I had to do this for Beef. I know he asked me for it. And I'm going to go out with this. I love y'all. Peace and love, and
love
stay
you
tuned.
Back, man.
Love you back, man.
Peace, love, and blessings, brother.
Thank you, sister.
You know that don't mean my world to me, 'cause baby, name can't crap my style. I know you can get in bus college.